Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
The Volume.
It's Hoops Tonight presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with FanDuel. The app is safe and secure. Getting your money out is super easy. You can jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting, and I love building those same game parlays. And FanDuel is now live in Ohio, so use promo code JASONT and download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. 21 plus in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia, and Ohio. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. Call 1-877-770-STOP in LA. Visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Dial 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia. All right, welcome to Hoops Tonight, presented by FanDuel here at The Volume. Happy Thursday, everybody. We are live on AMP after that incredible game between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Kind of a fun game, but a very sloppy game. We're going to dive into a bunch of different angles from this game. I want to talk a lot about Al Horford and Robert Williams and the way they dominated. I want to spend some time on Jason Tatum and his very up and down night, mostly down, but then up at the end. And then I want to talk a little bit about the Warriors and something that I think tonight tells us a lot about what their strategy should be around the deadline. Those of you guys who are listening on YouTube or on the podcast feed, do not forget that the first place you guys can get these post-game breakdowns is on AMP. So let's talk some basketball. Again, this was a sloppy game. This didn't look a lot like the game that we had a few months ago, or I should say in early December, when the Warriors won it at the Chase Center, because in that game, most of the key characters were all kind of at the top of their game. I've spent a lot, just an enormous amount of time in the last couple of weeks talking about rhythm. And the main reason why is we've had so many players that have been out of their lineups for weeks and weeks with injuries. And then they come back and like almost every single time, especially skill-oriented players, they really struggle with their ball handling and their shooting and their timing and their seeing the floor and all these different things when they've been away from the game for a long time. And particularly Jaylen Brown, nightmare game for the most part, although he made a bunch of big plays down the stretch. Andrew Wiggins, absolute nightmare game, missed a boatload of shots that he normally makes. Steph Curry, we saw a bunch of key highlights, and he made some huge plays down the stretch of this game. Hit another huge three in overtime to put the Warriors in front. But in the grand scheme of things, it was kind of like two mistakes or two missed shots for every big play that he made. No shame to Steph. He's just in his, fifth game back, coming back from the injury. And he, of all the players, is dependent on lift and rhythm and all those different things because he's such a skill-oriented player. Even in particular, after winning their last game, I was like, Steph put up big numbers. He had 40-something, but he didn't quite look like himself in terms of his lift and his finishing. Missed around the rim a couple times tonight as well. So it was kind of a sloppy game. I don't think either team should be feeling fantastic after this game, but obviously the Celtics should be feeling a bit better. But I think both teams have some positives they can take away. So I want to start with the Celtics because this was the first step in getting over their mental issues with the Warriors. We've seen this a lot throughout NBA history. Sometimes teams never get over those mental issues. Just ask the DeMar DeRozan Toronto Raptors, who pretty consistently were every bit as good, if not better, in the regular season than the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then just got their ass kicked by them every single year. And Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan just would look like shells of themselves. You even saw that with the LeBron team in 2020 with the Lakers. Really struggled with the Clippers to start that year to the point where they were kicking everyone else's ass. And then in that matchup, they just couldn't get a win. And you guys probably remember the Christmas Day game where Patrick Beverley stripped LeBron James on the right wing when he tried to take a shot to win the game. They were kicking everybody's ass and they just couldn't handle the Clippers. But then they actually got over that hump. They won a game against the Clippers right before the bubble. Then they won a game against the Clippers in the bubble. And then they went on to win the championship. And it remains to be seen for Boston because I thought there was a lot of negative here. Their late game execution was a total mess still, if it wasn't for some shot making at the end of the game from Al Horford and from Jaylen Brown off of some nice kick out passes from Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum, they could have been in a much worse place. I guarantee you Warriors fans in particular are frustrated that they lost this one and probably felt like they should have got it. But there was enough positive from this game that I do think it was a significant step in the right direction. They had lost four consecutive games to the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, it's funny because this particular mental advantage as it pertains to the Celtics with the Warriors doesn't make a ton of sense to me, especially for Jason Tatum, because this is a matchup they should feel extremely comfortable in. This is a matchup where they have distinct advantages. If you were looking down from the surface, from above at the matchups in this particular dynamic, they're way bigger at almost every single position. I think Golden State has more top-end skill, but down the roster when it comes to ball handling and shooting, like how many teams in the league have guys like Derek White and Marcus Smart as their fourth and fifth most skilled players, or, you know, depending on where you put Malcolm Brogdon and all that. Like, this team has every reason to be extremely confident in this particular matchup. My guess is that it mostly has to do with experience and execution. Confidence is everything in the game of basketball. I'll give you an example, and we're going to talk more about Jason Tatum in a little bit, but there's a play right towards the end of regulation where Jason Tatum had Steph Curry on a switch on the left wing. And he, you know, had a triple threat, all sorts of space to operate. No one's digging into driving lanes. He's got all the space in the world. Now, he's 6'10 or 6'9 or whatever he is, and Steph is 6'3. And so the ideal thing to do there is to try to turn your back to the basket, try to back him down to the elbow. And if you're going to take a jump shot, maybe it's a shorter jump shot where your size is more of an advantage. And instead, he looks super indecisive and doesn't know what to do. And he kind of like takes a really weak sidestep to the left dribble, and Steph is right there with him in his shooting pocket. And then he like rises up to like he's going to shoot and then changes his mind and passes it at the last second. Like, that is Jason Tatum in a situation where he has a big time advantage over a good defender in Steph Curry, but a defender that has a significant size disadvantage in that matchup. And Jason Tatum didn't even look to use his size as an advantage. And that goes to show you that confidence just isn't quite there. As a team, I think in their late game execution, Boston had a bunch of sloppy turnovers at the end of this game. Jason Tatum, just three ridiculous turnovers in the final minutes of this game. There was a play in overtime where right when Golden State was down three and they just scored to get it back to three, and they damn near threw it out of bounds again. And Jaylen Brown had to vault himself into the damn scorer's table to launch it back in bounds to save the possession, and they ended up winning the game from there. But there is a distinct lack of confidence for the Celtics just within this matchup. And ideally, you go out there tonight and you kick the Warriors' ass and the monkey's off your back. And instead, it was kind of a more mild victory than that. They won, but it was a win where it was very sloppy and Jason Tatum didn't play well and you didn't execute down the stretch of the game and a lot of your ugly tendencies came to the surface. So it's a little bit disappointing from that standpoint. But in the grand scheme of things, a baby step in the right direction is better than a step in the wrong direction. Particularly, I wanted to talk about Al Horford and Robert Williams, because when nobody else was playing well for Boston, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, just awful games tonight in the grand scheme of things, although they both made huge plays down the stretch. You know, Al Horford and Robert Williams carried them early in this game. And, you know, I talk a lot about in the playoffs about versatility. And what that means is the ability to play different ways, right? It's something that I frequently look at with teams. It's like the Bucks. They can play huge with Brook Lopez and Giannis, or they could put Giannis at center and they could play a completely different brand of basketball that's a little bit more five out, right? And a little bit more switch heavy on defense. And that's kind of the dynamic that the Celtics can give you. You saw that. Ideally, what you want from the Celtics is you want Al Horford at center and you want Malcolm Brogdon with Marcus Smart and the two J's, and you're playing five out basketball and you're doing a lot of switching and the offense is flowing and you're playing good basketball on both ends of the floor. But in a game where Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown aren't playing well, you need to turn it into a rock fight. And they did that by staying big and keeping Robert Williams and Al Horford out there for large portions of the game. And then what did they do? They just absolutely pulverized the Warriors on the offensive glass all game long. Like, if there's a big silver lining for the Warriors, it's you were this close to winning this game, probably should have, and you got absolutely demolished physically in almost every phase of the game. But that's what makes me so excited about Boston. That's the reason why, even though I've been pessimistic about their late game struggles and I've been pessimistic about their ultimate ceiling, and yes, even after tonight, I still have them as my third best championship contender behind the Bucks and the Warriors. Celtics fans, we've talked about that at length. I don't need to get into it again. But the point is they have many different ways they can play. They have tons of ball handling and shooting. They have perimeter size, which is something that I've always valued a great deal because of your ability to cover ground in rotations and grab contested rebounds and run out in transition. They've got every single box checked except for that just veteran savvy and IQ in late game execution to help them close the deal. Or more importantly, to look at a team like the Warriors and be like, we're bigger and we're better than you, and we're going to play like it instead of playing beneath our capability and giving you a chance to win. Particularly down the stretch of this game, Boston's physical advantages carried them. Key offensive rebounds, even in OT, they get a stop down three. Should have a chance to go tie the game, but Robert Williams once again draws a foul trying to grab an offensive rebound. Two possessions in OT where you play perfect defense, but Jaylen Brown just rips through to the middle. Defenders walled up in front of him, but he's 6'8 and freaky athletic, and the guy he's going against is not, and he's just going to pop a little floater over the top of him. That's the type of thing that you need to succeed in those rock fights. And again, that's going to be the big advantage for Boston in most of their playoff matchups. They can play a rock fight. They can play a beautiful five-out style of basketball. Everything with me for them comes down to their confidence against the best opponents in the league in their late game execution. And I didn't see enough tonight. And Celtics fans, you're probably pulling your own hair out at the way they played at the end of that game. Until they rectify that issue on a playoff stage, I can't vault them above teams like the Bucks and the Warriors that are proven playoff performers down to the moment when they had the Larry O'Brien in their hands. Tip off the new year with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to threes drained. My favorite bet this week is the Atlanta Hawks on the road in Dallas on Wednesday. You can get them +3.5. The Hawks are in one of the phases of the season where they're having fun and actually playing good basketball, and Dallas is super thin in the front court and on the wing because of injuries. So I think it's a game where Atlanta's talent will carry them through. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. FanDuel is also now live in Ohio, so make sure you get in on the action with great offers for you now throughout January. So don't miss your chance to get $150 in free bets with promo code JASONT. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about Jason Tatum for a quick second, then we're going to move on to the Warriors. Again, he made a bunch of big plays in this game. He had a big pullback jumper on Steph Curry towards the end of regulation. That was really the great separation, great lift, knocked it down. He had a pivotal pass to Al Horford on the three that came before the Jaylen Brown three to tie the game. A really nice cross-court pass when he was downhill, hit him in the shooting pocket. In OT, drew a foul, driving past Andrew Wiggins, hit a really nice pull-up three. I think it was on Draymond Green. Like, he made a lot of big plays in this game, so I want to be clear. But man, I just don't understand why he struggles so much in this matchup. There were two plays there in the fourth quarter where he was just carelessly throwing cross-court passes that were easily picked off by Warriors because he's just not paying attention. So I don't know what it is that makes him a shell of himself against this team. But once again, I want to go positive here and say that I'd rather take a baby step in the right direction than a step in the wrong direction. And tonight for Tatum, with as big of a chasm as he needs to cover with this particular matchup, it was a positive step in that direction. And if the Celtics, I have not seen anything from any team in the West to make me think the Warriors are losing. So at this point, you know, you're going to probably have to deal with this matchup when you get to the finals if you're the Celtics. So a baby step in that right direction is a good thing. So moving on to the Warriors, this game in particular was such a great example of why I think the Warriors need to go all in at this deadline and move Moses Moody and move James Wiseman and get back a bench big or a big athletic forward, anything that can help them in these physical areas of the game. You know, I talk a lot about the value of top end talent in this league. And, you know, even when it looked like it might shift the other way with the Phoenix Suns, you saw Chris Paul and Devin Booker get outplayed by Giannis and get outplayed by Luka, and then all of their talent not mattering. So at the end of the day, top-end talent still determines things in this league. But there is, as I always say, there is a list of responsibilities that need to be filled on the court. And even your out-of-rhythm Steph Curry, bad game from Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson was awesome in the first half, not much from him in the second half. But even with all of that, your skill elements of the game were far beyond Boston in this particular game. But you lost because in the physical areas of the game, as it pertained to shooting over the top of defensive players or grabbing contested rebounds, you got absolutely mauled. And so it's like I've been talking about with the Lakers all season long. Don't overthink it. Don't get looking down at the rest of the roster and be like, oh, there's just not enough talent. It's not worth it. Let's look to the future. Because I feel like Joe Lacob is doing that. I feel like Joe Lacob is looking at this group and thinking it's the 2021 Warriors and thinking that it's not worth it and punting it into the future and not wanting to give up the assets. And what he's missing is that the core at the top of this lineup is more than enough to win a championship. When you look at Steph, Klay, Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, Andrew Wiggins, that group of six is the top six that just won an NBA championship. And a huge part of why you're losing right now is the back end of that roster doesn't have the requisite athleticism, experience, and basketball IQ to round everything out. And especially on a team like this where Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole are not physical specimens that are going to dominate games physically, you've got to bring them reinforcements on that end of the floor. Now, to be clear, Jonathan Kuminga missed this game. Jonathan Kuminga has been playing really good basketball for the Warriors for a while, and he specifically addresses that need to a certain extent. I think he's that big athletic forward that they need, but I think they need a backup center, somebody that gives them a better chance to hang with the Horford-Williams lineup. And again, like Draymond Green, one of the best defensive players of all time, but he's not going to be able to jump with Robert Williams. And so if you're going to ask him to battle with Robert Williams all night long, or if he's running up and tagging on people driving to the basket downhill, you need additional size and athleticism to give you a better chance to grab those contested rebounds and win some of those physical battles around the rim. So bottom line is that top six, you literally might never ever have a top six like that again in franchise history. Statistically speaking, the chances of you getting Steph Curry, a top five player of all time, in my opinion, and Draymond Green, a top three or four defensive player of all time, Klay Thompson, the second best shooter of all time, the odds of you lining that up again through the draft or through trades is extremely small. So your patience, as it were, or whatever it is that you view the future of this franchise, is not squeezing every bit of juice out of this orange. And I still think there's juice in this orange. Same thing I've been saying about the Lakers. When LeBron James is this good and Anthony Davis is this good, you might not. The last time they had that was Shaq and Kobe 20 years ago. If you move on past this year, you might not ever have that again. Give them the handful of things they need to help carry them in the other phases of the game, and your top-end talent will carry you over the top. I genuinely believe that, first of all, even if the Warriors don't do anything, I think they have a really good chance to win the West. But if you're going to beat one of these teams out of the East, the Bucks, the Nets, or the Celtics, or heck, the Sixers look incredible, if you're going to beat those teams, you need to give them reinforcements, particularly in size and athleticism off the bench. Again, tying this one off, I don't think either team should be feeling great about tonight, but I do think both teams should be feeling a little bit better than they did yesterday. All right, guys, that is all I have for tonight. As always, I sincerely appreciate you guys supporting the show. We have one more show this week. Tomorrow night, we're going to be doing the usual breakdown of all the games on Friday night, but that will actually be on the feeds on Saturday morning. I've got some more quick hitters for you when we get to that show as well. As always, I sincerely appreciate you guys supporting the show, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.